Hello and welcome to Princess in the Podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Sawyers, and I'm ready to talk Disney movies past and present. Once upon a time, Hannah and Ashley sat down to talk about The Little Mermaid, the live-action remake. I'm just going to jump right into the synopsis from Disney Press. The Little Mermaid, visionary filmmaker Rob Marshall's live-action reimagining of Studio's Oscar-winning animated musical classic opens exclusively in cinemas nationwide. This was on May 26, 2023. The Little Mermaid is the beloved story of Ariel, a beautiful and spirited young mermaid with a thirst for adventure. The youngest of King Triton's daughters and the most defiant, Ariel, longs to find out more about the world beyond the sea and, while visiting the surface, falls for the dashing Prince Eric. While mermaids are forbidden to interact with humans, Ariel must follow her heart. She makes a deal with the evil sea witch Ursula, which gives her a chance to experience life on land, but ultimately places her life and her father's crown in jeopardy. Welcome back, Ashley. I'm so glad you're here. As soon as this came out and I got a chance to watch it, I was like, who can I ask to talk about this movie? And I was like, the only redhead in my life, obviously.
It's me. Ariel is my favorite Disney princess obvious reasons. Okay. Yes.
So I didn't want to assume that just because she was a redhead, you were excited about that. But I think Ariel is like the most relatable classic Disney princess. Like,
yeah,
she, you know, fights with her single dad because, again, it's a Disney movie. So
yeah, there's always only one parent.
It's terrible that I'm laughing, but it's fine.
It's true.
It's a fact. We were at the Frozen sing-along in the Disney parks. Obviously, they're doing like a recap of Frozen, and the parents die, and one of the historians of Arendelle goes, "What is this, Bambi? What is this, Tarzan? What is this, Finding Nemo?" Like every Disney movie ever, and it's fantastic. When are you going? Like December?
September.
You need to watch that show. It's like my favorite show, and it's at Hollywood Studios. So good. That's a free Frozen reference for those of you in the audience today. So let's jump into an overview of the story.
All right. So mine is a little bit longer than the one that you just gave. So the story is about the youngest daughter of King Triton, Ariel. She's a mermaid who's very curious about the human world. One night, she goes above the surface and she witnesses a birthday celebration for Prince Eric, and she falls in love with him at first sight. A brutal storm comes through and wrecks Eric's ship, and he is basically just like sinking underwater. He's unconscious. He's gonna die. But Ariel swims to his rescue and carries him to shore and kind of like coaxes him awake with her voice by singing to him. She goes back and King Triton has figured out her secret of her love of the human world and her going above the surface and interacting with this human. He destroys her treasure trove and forbids her to ever breach the surface again. While she's all sad and down, Ursula the Sea Witch, of course, steps in and promises Ariel a life on land if she can convince the prince to grant her true love's kiss within 3 days. But in an effort to make her fail this task, Ursula takes Ariel's voice so she can't tell him to do it. And she also makes her forget that part of the bargain. So, the cost of this deal is Ariel's freedom, of course. So if she fails, Ariel belongs to Ursula. With the help of her friends, Flounder and Scuttle, and her father's faithful advisor, Sebastian, they work to fulfill the terms of the bargain, but they ultimately fail when Ursula steps in and uses Ariel's voice to lure Prince Eric for herself, because Ariel got just a little too close. So she turns back into a mermaid, the whole court discovers her secret, and they also figure out Ursula's secret, because Ariel ultimately gets her voice back. And so Ursula loses it and she sounds like her normal old self. They both go back to sea. When she gets down there, Ariel's father is waiting, basically, like, I know what's happened. Take my life instead of Ariel's. Let her be free. So Ursula, well, in this one, he kind of just kills her. she kills him. And so he fizzles away, and she takes his Triton, and she becomes really big, and she's causing this, like, crazy storm. And Ariel and Eric fight to take her down, and they kill her with the bow of a ship. And then they go back. Well, Ariel goes back under the sea, and King Triton is alive again. And everything is all good, and he grants her her wish and lets her live happily ever after on land with Prince Eric. The end.
That was so good.
Yeah.
So, as far as storyline, I felt like overall it stuck pretty true to the original movie. One of the things I noticed was Prince Eric is adopted, which is yes. not a part of the original movie. Anything else?
Scuttle is now a girl, and she's not a seagull. She's a gannet, which is a type of diving bird. And I saw a TikTok, I don't know if this is true, I saw a TikTok that says that gannets are also known for, like, taking things, like human things, and, like, putting them in their nest.
Oh, so then that would make sense.
It makes more sense. If that's true, it makes more sense. So
yeah.
I'm okay with it. But yeah. And also, I don't remember, it's been a long time since I've seen the original, but I don't remember Ursula being King Triton's sister.
Yeah, that's another thing that's different. So I watched the animated version just to kind of like get a feel. Yeah, this, the being her sister is not a thing. In the animated version, she doesn't make Ariel forget. I mean, they don't specifically address it because Ariel doesn't talk, but you can assume that, like, she knows what she has to do.
Yeah.
And in the live action, Ursula point blank says, basically, I cheated. Like, she doesn't know what she's going to have to do. I also, Scuttle doesn't play the same role. Like, Scuttle is a much more major character in the live action movie than she is in the animated version.
Yes.
And yeah, let's jump right into characters. So we have Ariel and Prince Eric, King Triton and Ursula, Scuttle and Sebastian. I think, like, obviously there's Grisby. I can't ever remember his name. The, like,
I know who you're talking about.
The
guy that falls kicking around.
Yeah. And then we kind of have a few other staff members from the castle that we kind of, like, get to know, but they're not, again, major characters. My favorite is probably Sebastian, and I think that has to do with the fact that he is voiced by Daveed Diggs.
Yes.
Of Hamilton fame. You know, because that's all that matters. Scuttle is so fun, played by Awkwafina. Yep. I think her personality really shines through, even though it's a CGI bird. Like, it's so good. And then, I mean, Ariel in this movie is really fantastic, as well as Prince Eric. And you can't, like, not acknowledge Ursula.
Yes.
Played by Melissa McCarthy. Like, everything.
She did such a good job.
I feel like the casting for this movie is impeccable. Like, you could not create a better cast if you tried. Like, if we sat down and we're like, we're going to remake The Little Mermaid, let's name off characters. First off, we're going to put Harry Styles as Prince Eric. And then from there on, like, we're going to ruin it because, like...
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's so good. It's so, so good. So I'll let you talk about your favorite characters.
So obviously Ariel is my favorite. She's always been my favorite. But in this specific movie, I really loved Scuttle. Like, she was so funny. She had some great one-liners. And like you said, her, like, Awkwafina's personality really shone through. I love her in, like, any role she's ever played. And so I knew that I was going to love this one, and she did not let me down.
Yeah. And, I mean, we'll get to music in a second, but Scuttlebutt rap is just so fantastic.
Yes.
So, quotes from the movie. What is your favorite quote from the movie?
My favorite one is whenever Scuttle shows up that like first morning and she's like, did she kill the prince yet? Because she thought that she that was supposed to kill him instead of kiss him.
You know, it's basically the same thing.
Just a minor detail change.
So mine is from Ursula. Ursula's like looking all over for like some evil thing. I don't know what to call it. And she's opening these like wardrobes and trying to find this, and she makes the comment like, everyone or no one ever puts anything back where it belongs. And like, it's ironic because you get the vibe that Ursula is the only one that is ever in that space like doing things, and mm-hmm. So it's like she's talking about herself.
Yes. but then you see her tentacles, they like kind of go out and they yeah. find it and they're like, no, we found it. So like, do her tentacles have a mind of their own?
Yeah, I don't know. I have lots of questions about Ursula. Maybe I'll just call Melissa McCarthy and ask her. So going into music, do you have a favorite?
It's still a part of your world. Like Haley Berry. I always want to say Halle Berry.
Yeah, it's so hard.
Haley Berry, she, oh my gosh, like her voice is amazing. She killed it. And that song is just such a classic. And it's always my favorite. I remember being a little girl swimming in the pool, twirling around, reaching my hand up. classic. Like scene, and so that's still my favorite one. Like I liked the new songs that they added in, but that one is by far my favorite.
Yeah, I really love the song For the First Time. I don't know if that's actually the title of it, but she's talking about all the things she's doing for the first time, and this is a new song to the soundtrack. And then I've already said it, but I love the scuttlebutt rap. Like, yes. It's so freaking cute.
Yes.
So, new music versus old music. The old music was composed by Alan Menken. Alan Menken also did the music for Beauty and the Beast. He's a classic Disney composer. I want to say he did work on this movie. I'm not 100% sure on that. So, y'all can fact check me on that. But the new songs were written by Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yes.
And you definitely get the vibe. But I felt like even though those composers and writers have two very distinct styles, it did not feel disjointed.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I knew what songs were new because I've grown up on The Little Mermaid, but I felt like For the First Time melded just as well with like Part of Your World. It felt very organic and cohesive.
Yes. And, you know, it's just like all happening in her head, and that whole like montage of all the things is really cool. Cause then you see Jodie Benson.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
I love her.
Kevin next to me, I was like, do you know who that is?
He's like, no, I do not.
He said, yeah. I don't know if he did or not. We'll have to ask
him. I feel like that was a lie. I feel like he just said yeah because he felt like he should. No one knows who Jodie Benson is.
No, because no one saw her voice.
A Disney adult, yeah. I see here in the notes you talked about Kiss the Girl.
Yes. Yeah, so I really like that they changed the lyrics in that song because, you know, things don't always age well, and that song did not age very well. And I think that the way that they changed it is very important.
Yeah.
And it was just such a small little thing, so it didn't, like, mess up anything.
No.
It didn't, like, change the whole point of the song. It just made it better.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And, I mean, it's been a hot topic. That song has been a hot topic in the last, I would say, 5 to 10 years of and understanding the importance of consent and what that should look like. I've always been under the like side that like I didn't know how they could fix it without changing the story because like she can't talk.
No.
but I don't remember the exact lyric that they used, but it basically was like, you need to ask her. And yes. And like it just flowed very well. It did not feel forced. So I loved it. I loved every part of it. It was just so good. What I loved with some of the musical numbers too is that when you're watching it and you side by side it, like him, like them playing on the turtles, like shells, like that was a shot for shot take of the movie. And sometimes I think that causes people a pause when we're looking at remakes, because then it's like, well, it's supposed to be an exact copy. And this movie, I felt like, took a lot of liberties without losing the importance of the story.
Yes.
And showing that kids need to have adventures. Kids need to learn on their own and have natural consequences. And everything about it stayed the same while still changing it and not making an exact copy. And so I think that also leads us into the sequel. So for those of you who have not seen The Little Mermaid sequel, The Little Mermaid sequel is Prince Eric and Ariel have a daughter. And I want to say her name is Melody.
That sounds right.
I feel like that's correct. It has been a long time since I've seen this movie. Same. So, and to be honest, as I'm sitting here thinking about it, I think that's all I know about this movie. I don't know that I've even ever watched it.
So, it's been like 20 years since I've watched that movie. Let me just age myself. But from what I recall, it's like opposite of Ariel. She really, really wants to be under the sea. Like, she doesn't want to live on land. And so, like, that's the whole point. And I think she also makes a deal. It's not Ursula, obviously, but there's definitely a villain because it's a Disney movie. She, like, makes a deal and can be a mermaid. And it's, like, this whole thing. And that's really all I remember. But, yeah.
I think if I wanted a sequel, I would want it not related. Like, I don't want the same sequel. I want a different story because I love Halle Berry as Ariel and I loved Prince Eric and I loved these actors' portrayals of these characters. And so therefore, I want more.
Yes.
I think I would rather have a Little Mermaid 2 that's not related at all to the original sequel. She can have a kid. I don't care.
Yeah.
I just
don't want that story.
I don't care what the story is, as long as it's something new. And I think that would be a great way to continue the story of The Little Mermaid without it being tied to the original.
Yeah. I think that I would really love to see, like, a spinoff. Like, I want a spinoff about Ursula, like a prequel. I think that would be so good.
I would love that.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that would be so good.
Yeah.
Because I want to know why she got, like, exiled.
Exactly. We still don't know.
Yeah. So, that was, like, my big question is, like, how did she get exiled? Why did she have to do, like, did she have something to do with Ariel's mother's death? I don't know. I would love it. And I would love more Melissa McCarthy as Ursula too.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I'm trying to think if they've ever done a villain origin story.
I don't
as a standalone. So there's
there's like that movie or that show. I don't know if it's a movie or show, The Descendants.
Yeah. Cruella. They have done it with Cruella.
Yeah. Yeah.
I say I am wearing a Cruella shirt. I'll have to show you the back in a second.
I did the Cruella episode too, so.
It's funny that we were both like, I don't think they've done that before. And then we're like, oh wait. So I think doing that with Cruella, in a Cruella storyline, oh my gosh.
Yes.
I mean,
they did an amazing job with Cruella. So, like, just imagine what they could do with Ursula.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, Melissa McCarthy is Ursula. Like, oh, yes. Oh my gosh. I'm getting, like, chill bumps. That would be so fantastic. Okay. This is obviously a retelling of the Hans Christian Andersen version of The Little Mermaid, which I want to say in, like, the actual Little Mermaid, like, she, like, dies in a thing of foam. Like, she doesn't get to live on land with Prince Eric. So, like, I'm a fan of this version.
Yeah, same.
So, happier. I want to say it has something to do with, like, her legs are cut off. I don't know. It's very, very, it's very dark.
Their stories always are.
Yeah, it's not a Grimm Brothers story, but it is, it's definitely interesting. Okay, favorite moment.
So my favorite moment was, right before Kiss the Girl, and they're sitting there looking at the stars, and Prince Eric is pointing out all the constellations and how, sailors use them to navigate, and he points to Aries, and then the topic of Ariel's name comes up, which he does not know because she cannot talk. And so she points to him, Aries, and then she's, like, trying to show him by, like, flipping his lip with her fingers that it's Ariel.
Speech therapist. Like, yes. Teaching him a sound.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And so I think that was my favorite moment. It was super duper cute. I'm glad that they put that in there.
So I think mine is either Kiss the Girl or Scuttlebutt's Rap.
Yeah.
I know, like, y'all are gonna come off this episode and be like, you know what? I don't think Hannah liked the rap. She didn't really talk about it very much. She
hated that part of the movie so much.
I think yeah. Anyway. I also love Scuttlebutt's Rap because it leads into her going and finding out about Vivian, mm-hmm. or whatever the heck Ursula's name is.
I don't know. I know it starts with a V. It's like Vivian or Vanessa, one of those two.
Vanessa. It's Vanessa.
It is Vanessa? Okay.
Yeah, it's Vanessa. Yeah. Anyway, and so I think it's a great build-up to her hopes and dreams being dashed because she thinks she's going to marry the prince. Yes. And so it's just a fun, and like the fact that Scuttle brings like fake news, like it's so perfect.
Yes, because she gets all the human things wrong, so yes. Why not get the news wrong too?
Yes, exactly. So I mean, I feel like I'm very justified in liking this part of the movie as much as I do.
I do have another favorite moment that I just remembered. In the montage of like the first time little montage, when she is given something to eat and she has the fork, she starts twirling it in her hair. Like, that's such a good moment in the original movie. But I think the way that they did it in this one was even better because she's like out in public.
Yeah.
She's just like very just like discreetly like sets it down. She's like, okay, that's not right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that part too.
Yeah. Okay. Final thoughts. I'm going to start off by saying, as of this moment, you can meet the live-action Ariel at Hollywood Studios. However, you are going to have to wait in a line that is about 2 hours long. I was just at Disney World, and I actually ended up meeting neither Ariel from the animated movie or from the live-action one. I went so excited. I was so excited to get pictures of the live-action Ariel. But 2 hours of your day at a park is a pretty significant amount of time, especially for a meet and greet that's going to be maybe 2 minutes long. And so I decided not to meet her. She currently meets in the area that like the little museum is at Hollywood Studios. So if that's something that you're interested in, you could do that, but it is my understanding it's a limited time meet and greet. So not sure if you're listening in the future, and if that will still be a opportunity that you can have.
I'll report back in September.
Perfect. We'll just update this episode.
Exactly.
But yeah, I went to get in line and the guy was like, just so you know, this is about an hour and a half. And I was like, okay. And I just left.
Never mind.
Yeah, and I had on my Ariel shirt and my Little Mermaid ears. It was going to be so perfect. Yeah. But yeah, it was definitely a sad moment for me, but it's okay. Any final thoughts for you?
So I do actually have two. So one, I know like it's a sensitive subject with a lot of people, with Halle Berry being the choice for Ariel. Mm-hmm. But as a little girl, I didn't have a lot of redhead representation.
Yeah.
And so now Ariel getting to represent another group. Yeah. Oh my gosh, like it makes me want to cry. Yeah. So my niece is mixed, and my sister recorded her watching the trailer for the first time. Y'all, like heart wrenching, just like love, just like, oh my gosh. She was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's amazing. And then my other final thought is whenever she's coming out of the water for the final time, when her dad is finally like, go be what you want to be.
Yeah.
She's not in the sparkly dress. They had such an amazing opportunity to just like kill that moment, and there was no sparkly dress.
So here's my only thought with that. It's like they're about to, because again, there was a change to the story a little bit there. Mm-hmm. They're about to go do like trading with other countries. And like he's not in his royal attire either.
Yeah.
Because they're about to go out to see. I don't know if that makes you feel any better or not.
No. Okay. I get it, though, but no. Yeah. I just wanted the sparkly dress.
You just wanted the sparkly dress. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. It's a very fair and valid point. All feelings are welcomed here on Princess and the Podcast. I think that sums everything up. I think we talked about, like, everything.
I think so, too.
I highly recommend going to see this in theaters before it leaves. I think it does hit different on a big screen when you've got all the music. Like, I do already want to see it again. So, we're recording this on a Monday, so I might go tomorrow when it's nice and discounted for Tuesday.
Absolutely.
I'm so glad you joined us for this week's Princess in the Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Princess in the Podcast, and on Twitter at Princess and Pod. Visit our website, princessinthepodcast.com. I hope you live happily ever after.